First Peter chapter 4 verse 10 says this, "As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Hey, are you using your gift to the glory of God? Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is the pulpit ministry of First Baptist Texarkana as we take the sermons and we share them on radio and television around the nation and around the world through From His Heart Ministries. And you can hear From His Heart every weeknight on American Family Radio at 6 p.m. Central Time. And tonight, we're going to be on the road with From His Heart. We're taking our worship team from First Baptist Texarkana. We're going to be at First Bossier in Bossier City, Louisiana on East Texas Avenue. We're going to be there for a special service at 6 o'clock. It's going to be a time of worship and praise and preaching and giving thanks. You know, this is November 1st, and so it's the month of Thanksgiving. And anytime I do an event like this, I always think to myself, who could be my musical guest? Somebody that would provide some inspirational music. And there's always one guy that comes to the forefront of my mind, and he is with me in the studio today, and that is guitar legend Doyle Dykes. Doyle, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Pastor Jeff. Great to be with you again. Good to see you. I mean, you and I are friends.
We're friends.
And I always enjoy text or a phone call from you, but to see you in person is a real bonus.
Well, thank you, my friend. You always look good. And Doyle, I got to know you in 2011. You came to our church. We did a Christmas special with you and Babby Mason, and we just kind of hit it off. And I was fascinated when I heard you play for the first time. I'd never heard anybody play like that. And Doyle is a fingerstyle guitar player, which means he's got all 10 fingers working there. And I'd never heard anybody do that. And so, Doyle, that's not easy to do, is it?
Well, I don't think much about it. You know, it's kind of like driving a car. It's not easy to learn until you learn how to do it, or riding a bicycle. And, of course, there are some things that are challenging. And even those things that are challenging, as long as you, you know, rehearse and practice, and there's still no substitute for that. And I think preparation is a huge thing. You don't have to really think about it.
Yeah. Well, okay, so in your story, I know that the sailor – mm-hmm. was a big part of your story, and because he played that way, right?
Yeah, he played fingerstyle guitar where you have your thumb pick, and it takes care of these three strings, and then your index, middle, and then your third finger. And he showed me this little, in fact, on my YouTube channel, I give a free lesson, and we just posted it. So you can learn how to do this for free. But I told him about that, and I've taught that all over the world, and that's the way he taught me. And so freely I was given, and so I'm freely I give.
Yeah, amen. Okay, so it's a challenge to separate your thumb from the rest. So it's doing something totally different than the rest of your fingers.
Well, it's like a piano player, really. You know, on your left hand, you're doing a piano player normally does, a stride piano player. You know, a lot of, as some people say, a gospel piano player, which I always say, Jesus said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. I've heard a few piano players like that.
Yeah. But,
so your thumb is doing this, and then... like that.
Right.
And so you're playing the bass and boom, boom. And then there are other styles like Merle Travis. And that's more like a little more like a Scott Joplin type thing.
Uh-huh.
And who, as you know, he's from here. We saw his
museum
last night. And so his bass was... And Chet Atkins is
a little cleaner.
Yeah, more of a one and a five, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, well, which one is correct? They both are. Yeah. You know?
So are you patterned? You can play a lot of those guys' style, but what's the Doyle Dyke style?
Well, I actually use both of those, you know. And when I'm playing the razzmatazz kind of, you know, faster. I am a pilgrim like a... That was my dad's favorite song.
Which one is that?
I am a pilgrim.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a father, even the Lord knows him as Bubba, who has gone to that sweet shore. I'm determined to go and pick with him again over on that other shore. And he play like this, Jim. Some of that kind of stuff off Jerry Reed.
Okay, so if you hear a song on the radio, mm-hmm. guitar heavy, can you pick that out pretty quickly and start playing it?
It all depends. I mean, I started trying to do that when I was a kid. And then I understood more what they were doing when Barry came along, Barry the Sailor. But I remember when I was in... I think the ninth grade.
Remember that? Fast. Yeah.
I played a little different. And now I know Mason Williams, the guy that actually wrote that song. But that was sort of a challenge. And yeah. So, yeah, you know, I was in a show the other day. We were talking about this, in fact, last night. And Jeff Carlisi came over, and he was sitting in the audience. And he was the guitar player for 38 Special. And I was talking about, well, when I was a kid, I'd go home and listen to Chet Atkins and Merle Travis and maybe a little Les Paul. And now Jeff here, he'd go listen to Hendrix and Eric Clapton and all that. And then he became a very big rock star. And I said, not me. I always just played at church and, you know, listened and played. I said, however, he is sitting here watching me tonight.
I heard you say one time, Doyle. You said, yeah, I play all different styles of music, but they all just sound country.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, so tell about, we're talking about employing your gift to serve one another, to serve the Lord as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I still remember, I think you wrote this in your book, Lights of Marfa, which is a great book, by the way. And they can pick that up at DoyleDykes.com.
Yes.
What you said, I think you were a kid at church, and you said, God, if you give me a gift to play the guitar, I'll use it.
Yeah, I just said, Lord, give me a job to do, and I'll always talk about you. That's just exactly what I said. And I raised my hands. Nobody told me to. Nobody forced me to do that. But I just raised my hands to the Lord. And I emphasize that because I've used my hands on the guitar all these years. Somebody asked me not long ago, are your fingers insured? I said, no, but they're on Medicare now. Does that matter or whatever? That may not count. But, I did a show with a guy named Leroy Parnell the other day. And Leroy's a good Texan. And he's a good guy. And he's also a believer. And he got up and talked about Medicare. He said, you know what? I'm on Medicare now. That's one of the nicest things anyone's ever done for me.
Okay, so Doyle, let me ask you this. In being in the music world for 47 years, we said almost 50 years. So you've seen a lot of things. You've been around a lot of people. For those of us that aren't in that world, we see a lot of people in that world get involved in drugs and alcohol and crazy living and adultery and all that. How did you keep yourself from those things?
Well, I think the Lord did. You know, I mean, I've served the Lord from the time I was a kid, you know, and I've always asked for the Lord to direct my life. It was actually 50 years ago that I got my first job, and I'd forgotten about that, but I was actually with a gospel group. And it was very challenging for me. I remember my pastor and all the young people gathered around praying for me before I left to move to Nashville.
How old are you?
I was just turning 18.
Okay.
I turned 18 that month. And in fact, I think I had my birthday while I was on my way up there to Nashville. But I got a job with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps. And so that was, even though it was a gospel thing back then, you know, there was just a lot of things going on, and that I wasn't quite accustomed to. And boy, it took years, but I just wanted to be a real witness, and I'm not to talk about anybody or anything like that.
Right.
But these guys just had some challenges, you know, and I knew the best way for me to really minister to those guys was to quit, was to leave and walk away. I said, you know, the Lord didn't give me a talent for this, and
yeah.
I walked out.
Did you know going into it that was going to be a temptation?
I thought I could change them, you know, I thought I could make a difference, you know. And and I think I did, in a sense. I mean, and there were a lot of great people back then, also in gospel music, you know. But a lot of people knew that back then that J.D. had problems with alcoholism and different things like that. And he was so nice to me. He was always great. But I saw him on a Sandy Patty and Larnell Harris, and at the end of it, he just shouted all over that stage. And before he died, I mean, he had a real, real powerful experience in the Lord, you know, and that was a great thing. But it was a struggle, you know.
Yeah. So you left that as a young guy, and then you go into what?
Well, I went back and married my high school sweetheart. Mm-hmm. We've been married 49 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a couple of years, she said, well, you need to go back on the road. You need to be playing your guitar, is what she actually said. And she said, that's what you do. And I was surveying land. I was out there cutting line with a machete in Florida. It was like jungle sometimes, you know, and dodging rattlesnakes and cottonmouth moccasins and everything else. And cutting down trees with axes and hatchets. And, you know, that's not good on your hands.
No.
And she said, you need to be playing with those hands. And so I called this guy. His name was Billy Grammer, and he knew my uncle that owned an old Martin guitar, very much like this one. And within 2 weeks, I got a call from Grandpa Jones' secretary, who was his daughter. She was also like an agent. And she said, well, Grandpa's going down to Florida and wanted to know if you would come over and meet him. He's wanting to hire a new guitar player. And so I went out and got the job. And just a real quick thing. He looked at me and said, can you harmonize? I said, well, yes, sir. I grew up in church. And, you know, so you know all the gospel songs. And I said, yes, sir, pretty much. And he said, I heard you pick Like Merle. He and Merle Travis were very, very close.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, that's a tall order, but I try.
Yeah.
He said, well, get up here and pick with us. And that was it. I got off the stage, and he said, well, you got the job. And my boss from the survey crew was there. I had invited him. I told him about it.
Yeah.
And he looked at me, and when Grandpa offered me the job, he was standing right there. He said, don't even worry about coming back in. Nashville.
How cool. Well, we're talking to guitar legend Doyle Dykes on Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And Doyle will be with me tonight at First Bossier on Texas Avenue in Bossier City, Louisiana, as we have a night of worship and praise and thanksgiving. If you live in the area or you know someone that does, have them come out. Invite them to come out and have a great time in the Lord. 6 o'clock tonight, Tuesday, November 1st, and we're going to have fun. And we're talking to Doyle Dykes about using your gift. Whatever your gift is, use it for the glory of God, and God will use your life to bring glory to himself.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
I've traveled a lot. I've met with people from all over the country.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
The most rewarding thing about my job is that we get to build relationships through our donors and our supporters and get to have that personal relationship with them.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
God can use persecution to strengthen the church and individuals within it.
Persecution is granted to us. Don't miss this. What an honor to be chosen to follow in the footsteps of Christ, to die like the thief beside him, so that men enslaved to sin can see the gospel written in our flesh and believe.
Gain more perspective on persecution with Jordan Chambly's article, The Victorious Persecuted Church, in the Fall 21 issue of Engage Magazine, or visit engagemagazine.net.
The struggle between good and evil began when an angel in heaven rebelled against God. And ever since then, God and Satan have been engaged in a cosmic battle of epic proportions. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress teaches about the final struggle between God and Satan and the diabolical duo that will assist Satan in the last days. Listen all this week to Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Many doctors make dire predictions that are wildly wrong. Katie White was told at 20 weeks her unborn baby had hydrocephalus. It's a buildup of fluid around her brain. Doctors told Katie her unborn daughter would never walk, talk, or eat, and immediately after the diagnosis, they tried to get her to an abortionist. She refused and found a specialist who gave her hope. Kensley was born and does many of the things any average baby would do. Katie says she absolutely loves food and eats like a horse. No one will ever convince me that I made the wrong choice. If you or someone you know is facing a challenge during pregnancy, doing anything to end the life of your baby prematurely is wrong. Trust the Creator and allow Him to be God.
Follow us on Twitter at Life Issues USA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'm joined in the studio by my good friend and guitar legend, Doyle Dykes. Doyle has played at First Baptist Texarkana on a number of occasions. And Doyle, I could have you every week. I love to listen to you. And you're a dear friend. I love your heart for the Lord. And so we're talking about your life and how God has used you. The theme is, what are you doing with the gift that God has given you? As each one has received a special gift, 1 Peter 4:10 says, every Christian has a gift. And the Bible says, employ it in serving one another as good stewards, good managers of the manifold grace of God. So we serve the Lord with what He gives us, but we serve the Lord by blessing other people. As God told Abraham, you're blessed to be a blessing. And so, Doyle, you've blessed people all over the world with your gift to play the guitar. Mm-hmm. And as we left your story, you're now a young guy in your early 20s, and you're playing with Grandpa Jones.
Yeah.
And was he really a grandpa?
Yeah, actually he was, you know. But I think more than just with his family, his son, he said, well, you know, Noel, he was everybody's grandpa. Uh-huh. You know, he was my dad, but we had to share him with everybody, but we didn't mind.
Because he wasn't that old when he was called Grandpa Jones, right?
No, he was young. Yeah, you know, they called him the young singer of old songs because he was an old soul inside. Even when he was like 29, he sounded like an old man. And he said, you sound like an old grandpa. Somebody said that to him on the radio, and it stuck. And so people started calling him Grandpa Jones, and that was a long time ago.
So what's your favorite Grandpa Jones song?
Oh, man. Well, one of my favorites would be Fallen Leaves, but I've got a little bit of... When the opera curtains open, I would play this. Portland West, back across the line. Able miles in Louisville, well, coming into my view. Never more be blue.
What was now? What was Grandpa's claim to fame? His singing or playing or just his showmanship or what?
Both. I mean, he loved singing, you know, and he loved old time country music. And I really developed an appreciation for old time country. I never knew that much about it, you know. Uh-huh. Like I said, I was raised more in gospel music and more. Even then, it was kind of contemporary, but like the Imperials and the Stamps and things like that. But when I went to work for him, in fact, we were rehearsing, you know, for and a sweet by and by, songs like that, you know, that he would play on Hee Haw. Uh-huh. For the Hee Haw Quartet, and that was his idea. In fact, one time they thought about taking that off Hee Haw, and he says, well... And he took the guy to the side, off to the side. He says, if that goes, I go.
Oh, wow.
And so that's how much he really loved the Lord and had a great relationship with God. But we would rehearse these songs. And I would put a passing chord, you know, in the song. And he said, he'd look at me sometimes under those glasses. He said, no passing chord. Sometimes he'd stop. No passing chord.
What's a passing chord?
Well, it's like... Oh, let's see. I'll meet you in the morning. Hold on. That would be one. Where our sorrow has drifted away.
Oh, he
like
didn't...
a suspended.
Oh, okay.
Like,
and why didn't he like that?
Well, that wasn't country.
Oh, okay.
Our drifted away. I'll be standing at the portals. See, that's a passing chord.
Uh-huh.
I'll be standing at the portal. Maybe a D7 would be okay.
Yeah.
But I'll be standing at the portal. The gates open wide. Uh-huh. And then close like... And it's just simple things like that the Booth Brothers would do. I mean, they'll take an old song and they'll put passing chords with it, you know, like. It is no secret what God can do, what is done. Pardon you. It is no secret. Like that. See, it wasn't written. He'll pardon you.
Right. Okay. Just that Roy Rogers kind of sound.
Yeah. You know, that guy was from around here. He was from Kellyville, the guy that wrote that. I have a story about that.
Oh, yeah?
Just how God can use anybody. Now, here's a guy named Stuart Hamblin. Came from Kellyville, Texas. And was on movies with Roy Rogers, Gene Autry, and John Wayne, and made it really big. He wrote some great country songs. And he had a radio show. It was one of the biggest radio shows syndicated in the country. And he was in Hollywood, lived in Hollywood. And it's called Family, The Family Hour. And when Billy Graham went to Los Angeles, nobody was coming to his meetings. They were about to fold up and leave. In fact, everybody on his staff said, well, you know, it's just not working. And Stuart Hamblin had a problem with gambling. He had a problem with drugs and also especially alcoholism. In fact, it's written in the Texas archives that he considered himself the original juvenile delinquent. And his companies, his sponsors, were continually bailing him out of jail and everything because he was so likable and so popular. Mm-hmm. But he reluctantly went to the crusade and was gloriously saved. And he said, well, I want to do something to help. You think I could get an audience with him? Well, the next day he met with Billy Graham. He agreed because they'd heard of him, you know. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, I'd like to promote your crusade. And then thousands came. In mm-hmm. fact, there were so many people that came, they had to extend it mm-hmm. and for several weeks. And William Randolph Hearst got a hold of it, and it was in newspapers all over the country. Chicago said, we want him. New York, we want him. Kansas City, we want him. Mm-hmm. Atlanta, London. And I saw in a meeting, one of his crusades where he actually, it's an old one from the 50s, introduced him. And he said, when Stuart Hamblin came to our crusade and came to our lives, it was a turning point to Billy Graham Ministries.
Wow.
And who would have thought that a cowboy singer and songwriter, and that song too was amazing, and how he wrote that song. It is no secret what God can do.
Yeah, I had heard a story about that really impacted John Wayne.
Well, he was at John Wayne's house, uh-huh. and he was talking about there are things that we can't do on our own. And he was talking about getting off alcohol and drugs. And he said, well, you know, John, it's no secret what God can do. And before he left, he and his wife were there. They were just, you know, visiting with him. And he said, well, you know, Stuart, you ought to write a song about that. It is no secret what God can do. What a beautiful thought. And then he went home and walked across the lawn. And when they walked in the house, they didn't realize it was, you know, the chimes of time. Let's see. The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Remember the words?
Yeah. Was that someone new? Right.
And it is no secret. Yeah, and that's when he wrote it in like 17 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And it was John Wayne that said, you should go write that song.
He was called the Singing Cowboy. Is that right, Stuart Hamblin?
I think he was, yeah, one of the original ones. It was the Singing Cowboy. And he was, in, like I said, in so many of those movies back then, everybody knew him. But they knew him as a gambler, an alcoholic, you know.
Yeah.
But God, when God gets a hold of your life, mm-hmm. God can use anybody. It doesn't matter where you've been. Was it Rick Warren that says, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future.
Amen. That's a good word. Okay, so you grew up gospel music and then influenced by country music. And then, Doyle, what's the difference between, for novices like me, country music and bluegrass music?
Well, I'll give you the Grandpa Jones thing. I was listening to him on the bus one time, and a guy was saying, he said, well, you being a bluegrass entertainer, Grandpa says, I'm not bluegrass. Don't call me bluegrass. And the guy said, well, what's the difference? Well, I'll tell you. He said, you know that song Bill Monroe did, The Blue Moon of Kentucky? He said, yeah. He said, well, he sings it wrong. And he said, according to old style country. He said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, he'll sing Blue Moon of Kentucky, keep on shining. He said, he puts the emphasis on the wrong word. He said, of is not even hardly a word. Blue Moon of Kentucky. He said, well, how would you sing it? Blue moon of Kentucky, keep on shining. He said, not blue moon of Kentucky, keep on.
Yeah.
And he said, well, but Grandpa, he wrote that song. He said, yeah, I suppose he did.
How about from a guitar player's perspective?
Well, you know, country music is all over the map now. I mean, I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida, Ronnie Van Zant and Lynyrd Skynyrd. I mean, in fact, he's buried right over by my dad. And, of course, mentioning Jeff Carlisi a while ago, that's the country of today, really. It's more like Southern rock. A lot of it is. It really is.
Yeah.
He influenced a lot of young people to go in that area. But I think country music and, you know, bluegrass is still huge. I love it. I love bluegrass. Of course, you had Andy and Rachel Lefwich here.
Right.
And but they also do they use their bluegrass influence and like his mandolin and fiddle playing and guitar playing to play hymns and things like that.
Yeah,
it makes it beautiful.
Well, if you were going to play with a bluegrass band, would that be a challenge for you?
Or? Yeah, it would, because I play. That's a flat pickers, you know. You know, I can play some of it, but mine is.
Yeah. You know, you played something when you first came here. You had a Batman, little run of Batman, and you played a really weird chord. I'd never heard it before.
Oh,
your Batman chord.
Yeah. And I would always say that's my Batman chord and my FBI chord.
Yeah.
You know, Guy Noir, Private Eye.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. And then I was talking to you last night at dinner about your blues, when you would play the blues, and you said you couldn't play the blues, you're just too happy. But do you remember that little that little bit you did on that Baby Taylor?
Yeah. You know, I heard Marty Stewart say one time, he said, bluegrass is just the blues played fast, because a lot of the licks, the scales, and all that are the same. Mm-hmm. They're just played at a different tempo, and it's true.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're with Grandpa Jones for how long?
I was with him for 2-3 years, and but our relationship was just, you know, very strong, and so we stayed in contact, and then I was... when I came back in the 90s as a soloist on the Opry, I was there in his 50th anniversary. Mm-hmm. And presented him with a guitar.
Oh,
Taylor
wow.
gave him a guitar and a lifetime supply of GHS strings that I'm affiliated with. And I was there on his 50th anniversary with Ramona, his wife, and I also celebrated what would have been his 100th birthday at the Country Music Hall of Fame. And so his family always, even after he died, always included me. It was just a very special thing that happened in my life.
Was that pretty hard to leave him?
Yeah, it was, you know. But you know what's funny is people ask, well, what did you learn from playing with Grandpa? I said, I learned two things, an appreciation of old-time country music and also how to tell a story and how to relate to an audience, mm-hmm. you know, with a sense of timing. Grandpa had the best, he was so good at that. He was a genius. And he was writing a book when I was with him, and he sent me the book later on, and he said, well, I learned show business, how to tell a joke and a story with a sense of timing from a guy named Smitty Smith. I dropped the book. Smitty Smith was my uncle. Mm. I was named after him. His name was actually Doyle. He's my mother's brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that he worked with Grandpa. I never told Grandpa that when I got the job, but until after I got the job. Why didn't you tell me Smitty was your uncle? But I didn't know until later on also that Roy Clark, he told me that, he said, I'd have never been on Hee Haw. I would have never been able to do a monologue on The Tonight Show had it not been for your Uncle Smitty. He taught me show business.
Oh, wow.
So you never know sometimes what's already in your own DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And what God has placed on the inside of you. You know, you asked me before, how do you define yourself? I said, well, I'm a guitar player, but I think I'm more of a communicator.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because of the gift that God placed on the inside. It's like Joseph's bag, or his little brother, and he puts his silver chalice.
Oh, yeah, in Genesis.
Mm-hmm. In his bag, and he didn't even know it was there. But God puts things on the inside in these earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
Amen. We're talking to guitar legend Doyle Dykes. He's here in the studio. He's going to be with me tonight at First Baptist Bossier on East Texas Avenue in Bossier City, Louisiana. We have a service, special service, a time of thanksgiving and worship and praise at 6 o'clock. And if you live in that area, we would love to see you. We'd love for you to be a part as we sing and as we praise the Lord, as we preach His Word, as Doyle plays. It's going to be a great, great night. Well, when we come back from the break, we're going to be continuing in the great story of Doyle's life and the testimony that he has, that God has used him in such great ways in so many lives through the gift of playing the guitar. Don't go away.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
A teenage jihadist comes to Christ. Hey, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, and I met young Ahmed when I visited the Middle East. His father died fighting for ISIS, his mother was an extremist, and young Ahmed was going to be a suicide bomber by killing himself and others being sold out to violent Islam. Now, his mother and siblings, they came to Christ, they prayed nonstop for his salvation, and when it came, he was beaten nearly to death by extremists. And when I caught up with him several villages over, I asked, Ahmed, what's your Bible mean to you? And he said, I can look here and see where Jesus says they'll hate you because they hated me, and where Jesus says, I'm with you always. Now listen, having a Bible, it meant everything to him and gave him perspective, and his prayer was for believers there who need God's Word to endure and persevere. And I said, Ahmed, those Bibles, they're coming. $5 sends a Bible, $50 sends 10, $500 sends 100. Please, in this season of giving, bless the persecuted church by calling 800-YES-WORD. 800-YES-WORD, or give it sendbiblesnow.org. sendbiblesnow.org, and God bless you for caring.
A charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation is an excellent way to provide yourself with guaranteed permanent income while at the same time supporting the American Family Association. Here's what one supporter told us.
I very much want to see God's Word continue into the next generation. This is a way I can help AFA spread the truth and promote their biblical stand. My experience with the AFA Foundation continues to remind me that I have a small part in helping AFA in the battle for our nation's values.
Financial planning is essential to your family. A charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation is one way you can support AFA and the health of our nation. The planners at the AFA Foundation are here to help you do the most with your finances. You can call us at 800-326-4543, extension 345, find us on Facebook, or email foundation@afa.net. And learn whether a charitable gift annuity is right for you.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, joined in the studio by my good friend Doyle Dykes, guitar legend Doyle Dykes. And we're talking about his life. We're talking about using the gift that God has given you for His glory to serve other people. See, every Christian, when you get saved, you are forgiven of your sins and you receive the Holy Spirit of God. Your body becomes the Holy of Holies. God dwelt in a temple in the Old Testament, but in New Testament times, that is the gift God gives us, His Spirit. Jesus said, my spirit will be with you and be in you. And so every Christian has the Holy Spirit within. And in addition to the Holy Spirit, as if there could be an addition, but then He gives us a spiritual gift, maybe more than one, so that we can serve. And it might be the gift of teaching. It might be the gift of preaching. It might be the gift of leading. It might be the gift of administration. It might be the gift of hospitality. It might be the gift that God gives you for music. And God has given Doyle several gifts. One in particular that everybody knows who knows Doyle Dykes is his gift for playing the guitar. As we were talking before the program aired, you know, you can practice and practice and practice, and that doesn't mean you can play guitar like Doyle can. I mean, he is a phenomenal player, and God gave him that gift. But God's also given him a gift of speaking, and he shares in his concerts not only the gift of music and the guitar, but he shares the Lord and how the Lord has used his life, and he gives glory to God. And so, Doyle, we were saying how you stepped out of the boat when you left Grandpa, because there's a lot of security with that. You're not having to get your own gigs. No. Grandpa's getting all those.
Yeah.
And so what led you to take that next step?
Well, I was in a revival meeting, and I just felt really in my spirit, just real strong. And I talked to my wife about it. I said, I really feel like God wants me to go back and into ministry, but something totally different than I've ever done. And so I started writing songs. The Lord just, in fact, you were talking, I was just thinking about one of the songs I wrote. They say, I am the temple of the Lord. Probably the one, the first song. I'm not my own anymore. I'm bought from sin, and Jesus paid the price. I am the temple of the Lord, and I will keep it clean and pure, 'cause God's living in this temple all the time. And I wrote that song. I haven't thought of that in years. So you just
that's a good
said
song.
What you did.
I like it.
Well, you know, I came out and I did a record. I called my friend Steve Warner. He was just a young guy before he had his big hits, you know. And he came over and played. And Paul Franklin has played all the George Strait records and Dire Straits, you know. But these guys were my friends, and so they were great players back then. And so I went, rented a studio, and made a record. And I told Grandpa, I remember where I was when I told him. I said, Grandpa, I'm leaving. He said, you are, huh? And I said, yes, sir, I feel like God wants me to go into ministry. And we were taking a walk. He'd always take a walk in the morning. I said, I want to go with you this morning. And it was around Cincinnati, and just on the other side in Florence, Kentucky. And he said, well, you know, if it was anybody else, I'd be aggravated at you. But he says, I knew one day it would be for him. Mm-hmm. And he said, and I admire that, Doyle, and I'll support you and back you anyway, mm-hmm. any way I can, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, I was talking to Steve Warner, in fact, a few days ago, and he said he was coming out to Texas to do some gigs by himself. And he says, man, you're just up there by yourself. He said, well, look, who am I talking to? He said, you do that all the time. You've done it for years. And I said, yeah, but I mean, he's so good. I said, but I don't feel sorry for you at all. You're Steve Warner. but I was talking to Leroy Parnell about that because he did a few songs the other night, just kind of impromptu by himself. I said, why don't you do more of that? And yeah, but it can be frightening. But you know, when you have the Lord with you, you know, I've never felt alone on stage. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always known he was there. And the one thing I think the Lord has blessed me with is an anointing to play and to be able to use my gift for him. And that's more of a gift to me than even the music. He works through the music. Sometimes you can hear, I've heard notes of anointed people before. I remember a piano player, and he just had this... He was playing the Hiding Place.
Yeah, You Are My Hiding Place.
Yeah, but it was just those first. And I thought, oh, man. And I listened to it over and over. There was something anointed about that. And I started. And so I wrote this song called The Wings of the Morning. But it was inspired. Anyway, so sometimes when something has the breath of God on it, it just moves people. It just really does. And without that, I'd just stay home.
Okay, now when you write songs, you're writing down all the music, because you don't really play off of music.
Mm-mm.
All of it's memorized, right?
No, I don't really even read music. You know, I can read chord charts and things like that.
So when you write a song, are you just putting the chords down? How are you writing that?
I play around the chord, you know, and I mean, sometimes it's like I heard Tommy Emmanuel, we were talking about one time, and he said, "Do you write anything down?" I said, "No, Ronnie Van Zant never wrote a lyric down." Even
with
Freebird, never wrote it down. He said, if it's a song, how can you forget it? And so Tommy and I were saying, if it's a song, how can you forget it?
Okay, let me ask you this. I was asking you last night, you know, how many songs you have in your head. Because you can play, it seems like you can play anything and it's complicated. And it's like, well, I hadn't played that in several years, but you still know how to play it. I asked you about the Jerry Reed song. What was it? Hunting Alligators. what's that song now? I'm forgetting it. About the
swamp. Amos Moses.
Amos Moses. Yeah.
Hunting alligators for a living.
So you just hear it in your head and you can play it.
Yeah.
That's a cool song.
I haven't played that in years.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a great song. Boy, Jerry Reed was something. You know, Jerry Reed, too, really came to the Lord. And he would go to this Baptist church outside of Nashville. And they were saying, why don't you bring your guitar sometimes? Well, you know, that old guitar kept me away from here for years.
Oh, wow.
He said, I just want to come and get to know him better.
Yeah.
And so he said, if you don't mind, I think I'll just...
Oh.
Just leave it at home for a while.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were talking about Johnny Cash at the break.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny Cash was somebody that you didn't necessarily know very well, but you had been around him.
Yeah, he's Leroy Parnell and I were talking just a few days ago. He said, you know, when there are a few people that could walk in a room and change the room, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He said Elvis was that way. But also, he said Johnny Cash was that way.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned two or three, but Johnny was that way. I mean, you could just feel it. I'd see him at the Opry, and people just kind of gathered around, and he just had something very special about him and a charisma about him. I had a friend of mine, John Cobal. He pastored a little small church. It was over by the house of Cash, Johnny's place over in Hendersonville, and he was really having bad financial problems, the pastor of the church, and he was going to leave. He said, "This would be my last Sunday, Lord, if you don't help me with this." And he said, "I just before I called the overseer, you know, guy in charge, he said I just knelt down and prayed on the altar. There's nobody in there but me." And he said, I heard something in the back, and he said they had a door, glass doors in the back, and then they had sort of little other frosted glass doors up front. So you could see the silhouette walking in. And he's a big man, and he walked closer. He said, "Are you the pastor here?" He said, "Yes, I'm John Cobal." He says, "I need to talk to you. I need a pastor this morning."
Mm-hmm.
And he said he took him in his office, and he just poured his heart out to him. And before he left, he gave him a check for $50,000.
Wow.
Which wiped his debt out that he had. And he ended up staying there for two or three more years and became very, very close to Johnny. In fact, when I would go back to the Opry, I would have people ask me about John Cobal. Most people wouldn't have known who he was. But like Jan Howard, you know, who was an Opry star, she said, "You know, I heard you know John Cobal." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "He's my pastor."
Oh, wow.
And he became the pastor of a lot of those folks.
He's passed away now?
He's passed away.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. Doyle, you've had an exciting career. You've been to all sorts of places. What are some of the, just kind of for fun, some of your greatest moments and some of your most shocking moments, or it's like, I don't know if I want to come back here again, because you've probably had some of those.
Yeah. I remember one time, because I've always been a little bit stubborn about some things. I said, well, I just don't want to play clubs, you know. And for one thing, I was representing a company, Taylor Guitars, and I was doing a tour in England. And if you put those events in a club, and you know, people just start getting, you know, they start drinking and things like that, and they don't really focus on the guitar and the reason I'm there.
Right.
And so I said, you know, I just think it's better if it would be in a hotel or a ballroom kind of thing, convention center, or in the store or whatever. But I looked on my itinerary and it said the Cavern Club, and I thought, wait a minute, the Cavern Club. I said, isn't that where the Beatles started? And the guy said, yeah. And I said, oh. And I could, there's another story that kind of goes along with this, but he said, are you okay with that? I said, well, yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. I think so. And it was one of those places, one of those things, you know, Lord, I didn't ask to be here. I was asked to come here. And so I always carry my little amplified Bible. I call that the guitar player's version, the amplified. And I always carried it in my hip pocket. And so I had set up, and I went to the men's room, and I just took out this little Bible. And even though I could quote it, I read it three times. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. Mm-hmm. I am ready for anything. I am equal to anything. In him who infuses inner strength into me, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Mm. And then I went out and did the show, and I started talking about music, and I started talking about creativity and the Creator and how music is a gift from God. And I said, and I realized some of the most famous musicians have played this stage. But I said, it all comes from God. Every good and every I thought they were going to throw me out of my ear. I ended up, I played How Great Thou Art. And they took me out of the back real quick before I could even meet anybody. And I thought, oh, I guess they're mad at me.
Yeah.
And he said, Doyle, we like your country ways. We enjoyed your chicken picking and all the things you did. But the things that you said, we'd never heard anything like that before. Wow. And so they showed me this wall of fame just outside in the alleyway, and they had all these names on these bricks of people that had played there before, like Oasis and B.B. King and Buddy Guy and the Rolling Stones. And of course, the Beatles were in the middle. And they said, you know, it's kind of like they rung a bell when they were here. And so we gave them a brick in the Wall of Fame, and Doyle, you're getting a brick.
Wow.
And so a year later, they brought me back and gave me a brick in the Wall of Fame. And so that was one of the highs.
And where was that?
That was in Liverpool.
Wow.
And, in fact, Huckabee, you know, was there, and with Jeff Carlisi, they're good friends. They were looking for my brick. And then he said, we must have looked for an hour. And then his wife walks up, oh, there it is. And it was right above the Beatles, just a few feet, you know, because it's a big wall.
Yeah.
And it's still there. And so, you know, if you honor God, God will honor you.
Yeah.
So never underestimate what God can do with the gift that he's placed inside of you.
Yeah. As we, the Stuart Hamblin song, there, it is no secret what God can do. And God can—he can take you places that you've never dreamed as mm-hmm. you surrender to Him. You know, it's that getting out of the boat that's hard for people
mm-hmm.
because it's scary out on the waves. But you don't need to be afraid. Listen, God has given you a special gift. Now, it may not be like Doyle Dykes's to play the guitar. He's one of the best in the world, and it may not be like Billy Graham. But you have a special gift, and every Christian has it. And so use it. And if you don't know what it is, just get out there and start doing for the Lord. Start serving. It's hard to steer a ship that's not moving. And so as you get in the water and as you trust the Lord, He'll guide you. I started teaching 7th grade Sunday school when I was a young guy, and I realized that's not where God has called me. But here I am today. Listen, God will use you just as he has used Doyle, just as he has used me. He wants to use you. He has a special plan for you. Hey, join us tonight if you can at First Baptist Bossier in Shreveport, in Bossier City, Louisiana, 6 o'clock tonight. Be there. We're going to have a great time. Hey, go out and shine and share, and I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.